And today he's joining us to answer a couple of questions about his plans for council and some of the questions that have been raised just recently about the new power broking deal that has also been arranged. We're going to be asking a few questions as he joins us now. Well, first of all, welcome back to the program, Darcy, and congratulations on your electoral success.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, there was a fair amount of backlash, actually, about the decision to do a kind of power-sharing arrangement with the Liberal Party, wherein Julie Passis has become deputy mayor. A lot of people actually took to Facebook when you announced this and were quite angry about this and have spoken to you and commented to you directly. I mean, what would you say to those voters now?
We've had a very democratic outcome. I won more votes in Balmain Ward than any other candidate across the Inner West Council. There was a huge swing against the Greens and towards me. Our team won the popular vote across the whole of the Inner West. Labor finished first in four of the five wards. So our starting position for negotiations with all parties was that, given I was the only person who'd actually nominated to be mayor, that the democratic mandate which we've earned through the ballot box should be respected. Unfortunately,
of course, I just want to touch on, because the obviously the Greens also, they didn't win the popular vote, as you stated, but I think it seems a lot of people would have been expecting that a deal between the Labor and the Greens would have formed around some sort of power-sharing agreement there. Was there any reason in particular that didn't fruit?
The Greens couldn't tell us who their candidate was for the first week of negotiations, and in the end, of course, they didn't even nominate a candidate for mayor. So they, to be frank, they've been a hopeless rabble. They insisted that we should vote for them for two of the first 3 years of the term, and that we should agree to do that even though they couldn't tell us who their mayoral candidate would be. And then in the end, they came up with a backup offer, a revised offer, which was that we should share the mayoralty between three different candidates, which is actually illegal because the government has changed the Local Government Act to require a minimum of 2 year terms for mayoral candidates. So if we weren't able to get an agreement with them, I thought it was important that the very ambitious progressive policy agenda that our team put forward at the election could be implemented. And I'm really excited now that I have been elected mayor that I'll be able to get on with doing good things like what I've announced today in the Sydney Morning Herald about making town halls available free of charge to same-sex couples to get married in after marriage equality is legislated.
Okay, and just one last question on that. I suppose it's many voters will, again, though, still be expecting that there will be some sort of a willingness to work with the Greens. Is that still on the table in terms of the council and its functions?
Absolutely. It's time to put party politics aside. The truth is most people, most Inner Westies, don't really give a damn about politicians squabbling at a council meeting. What they do want to see is all parties working together to make the Inner West the heart and soul of Sydney, to make sure that the services here are the highest standard of anywhere in the country, and that we do exciting, interesting things like making the place an arts and culture capital, bring our main streets to life by extending free Wi-Fi to every main street in the Inner West. These are the sorts of things that I'll be solely focused on now, and I hope to get the support of the Greens to do them.
Okay, now last time you were on 2SER, you said that you would support a plebiscite to de-amalgamate the Inner West Council. Now that you've been elected to the position of mayor, how will you follow through with this plebiscite?
Last time I was on 2SER, I made clear that I would support a plebiscite if the government changed or the government changed legislation to allow a plebiscite to be binding. I've never supported spending $500,000 of ratepayers' money on holding a plebiscite which Gladys Berejiklian will pay no attention to. The truth is she's made it very clear that while she's done a special little deal for Liberal enclaves like Wallara and Hunters Hill, that she's not going to change the legislation to reverse amalgamations here. Now, I hope that she's thrown out of office at the next election and that the incoming Labor government in March 2019 will be able to implement their policy of allowing communities to have a democratic say, and I absolutely support that. In the meantime, what people want is for me to get on with working with all of the councillors to make the council work. We can do some really positive, exciting things for the people of the Inner West. This should be a place where new ideas and policies that can take Australia forward are generated and implemented at the local level. And that's what my focus will be now.
Now, in your campaign, you claimed that if elected, you would be really effective in reducing the impact of WestConnex on the residents of the Inner West. How are you going to see that out?
The most important thing, so look, I've been campaigning against WestConnex WestConnex since 2013. And we must continue that principled opposition to the project because it's wasteful and it's not a modern transport solution. It won't solve congestion. We also have to propose every single piece of amelioration that is possible in order to reduce the impacts. For example, if Gladys Berejiklian is bloody-minded enough to proceed with the project, there's no way that we can stand for there being seven or more unfiltered smokestacks right across the Inner West. In my neck of the woods, in Rosehill Goodshard, they're proposing three in a row, 35 metres high, one next to Rosehill Public School, all of them unfiltered. So we've got to fight really, really hard and be, as you say, very effective in our advocacy to point out that this is totally unacceptable. It's not what's done in other cities around the world where these things are built. And it's not even what the government, what government ministers such as Rob Stokes have said they would find acceptable in their own electorates. Mr. Stokes has said that there's, quote, no way in hell he would allow an unfiltered smokestack near a school on the northern beaches. Well, if they're unsafe for kids on the northern beaches, they're unsafe for kids in the Inner West.
Okay. Now, you've recently been quite vocal to see same-sex couples married in the Inner West halls and community centres free of charge, should such unions be legalised as a result of the postal survey. I think some people had actually raised this in the comment thread of your announcing of your mayoralty, that they were a bit disappointed then to see that someone who opposes same-sex marriage and duly passed this has become deputy mayor. What would you say to those criticisms?
Well, I would point out the Facebook post that you're referring to has 3,500 likes. So I know the Greens Party doesn't like to accept this, but there's actually quite a few people in the Inner West who think it's a pretty good thing that I've been elected as mayor, and I
for
hope
sure.
to repay their trust.
Yeah, undoubtedly. However, there were a lot of people who also said they voted for Labor and were quite disappointed to see Liberal come into this position of power. And I think, I mean, if these are people that voted
well,
for
well,
you, surely
position,
you want to speak
what,
to those voters.
What position of power? Councillor Passos has one vote on the council. Labor has five. The Greens have five. There was a vote on the night of the mayoral election about marriage equality and throwing resources behind the campaign, and it was passed 13 votes to two. So I don't think there's going to be any difficulty for me in carrying out my progressive agenda. I put forward, myself and our local Labor team put forward a very, very detailed and ambitious progressive policy agenda during the campaign. We were the only party who did so, to be frank. And we will be seeking to enact all of that now. And that goes, that's not just, I'll give you one example in relation to the LGBTIQ community. We're not just promising support for marriage equality. We're going to bring Australia's first Pride Centre, a community centre for local gay and lesbian people to be able to come to and access services and organise community events. The council will be seeking to set that up in the near future. So there's a whole range of really exciting, innovative, progressive policies that we're going to get done. And I make no apology about making sure that I got to the mayoralty so that they can be achieved.
Now, one last thing that 2SER listeners in particular, I feel, will be interested in hearing revolves around your live music development fund. Tell us a bit about how the fund is going to be implemented and how it will help live music and the arts in the Inner West.
Well, you know as well as anyone that there's this terrible problem in our community, which is because of the cost of property and housing, people who work in creative industries and musicians in particular are being forced out of the area, and there's a smaller and smaller number of live music venues where gigs can be held. And so we want to set up a live music development fund, offer matching grants to venues who would like to host music gigs but aren't currently doing so, or would like to host more gigs than they currently do, to help pay for things like if they need upgrades to their fire safety or to their amenities or sound and audio equipment in order to be able to host those gigs. We think it's the role of the local government to help facilitate that, and we're going to set that up as a pilot program, and if it's successful, we'd like to expand it over time because we think that encouraging the flourishing of arts and music in the Inner West should be a central part of the business of the Inner West Council.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining The Daily again, Darcy.
Thanks for having me on. Happy to come on any time.